Hi, this is Jay Evans from the USDA ARS Bee Research Laboratory in Beltsville, Maryland. Today I'm going to read an essay I wrote for Bee Culture magazine titled Found in Translation, Drone Patrol. I'm reading it from outside at home in Greenbelt, Maryland, so you get the sense of these studies which took place on the wing with honeybee queens trying to find their future mates. The renowned Australian bee scientist and co-manager of Australia's National Honeybee Genetic Improvement Program, Elizabeth Frost, sent this magazine an interesting observation about drone bees, which was swiftly passed along to smarter souls. I realized that my knowledge of activity at honeybee mating hotspots was a decade or two out of date and needed a rebuild. Luckily, there have been some great advances in the past year or so in the art of confirming likely drone congregation areas, or DCAs, identifying most likely hookup times, and vetting the participants. A lot of this comes from on-the-ground patients, i.e. hours of watching queen departures and returns from mating boxes, while having your friends try to track drone flights from busier foal colonies. However, amidst all this, new technologies are emerging to reduce the human workload and provide more accurate data. These technologies are being deployed both at ground level and high above us. For the former, Alexander Uzanov and colleagues in Macedonia and Germany described a reasonably inexpensive mating box that can be outfitted to increase the chances of catching queens as they leave for and return from flights. This is in a paper called Standard Methods for Direct Observation of Honeybee Nuptial Flights, and it's from the Journal of Apicultural Research and freely available online. A key change to the standard issue structure was to add a queen excluder to ensure chastity until the time was right. Virgin queens were installed behind this excluder until the sixth day of adulthood, then were allowed to fly. This setup was used to record the start times of flights, returns, presence of a mating sign, and flight numbers. The authors claim that one agile observer can track 12 adjacent mating boxes in real time with this simple system. As a step up in technology, radio frequency identification or RFID tags and readers at the doorway improve data collection by more accurately predicting when the queen was heading in and out. High-resolution video of the hive porches also helped reduce the field work. And video and RFID together worked great. Specifically, RFID could be used to timestamp long videos with likely queen arrivals, allowing those videos to be scrutinized for queen behavior and signs of mating. Two additional recent studies used genetics to determine the results of queen forays, with a particular focus on the predictability of drone populations at DCAs. First, Melanie Parajo and colleagues used mating boxes to establish and monitor virgin queens in an isolated mating yard. In a paper called a SNP or SNP-based honeybee paternity assignment test for evaluating the effectiveness of mating stations and its application to the Atuan Valley in Basque Country of Spain. Also in the Journal of Apicultural Research in 2025, and also freely available. Their goal was to let queens do their thing, then screen resulting worker offspring to infer the home colonies of successful dads. This worked thanks to a chip that determines variants at more than 6,000 points along the honeybee genome, providing enough data to identify true fathers with greater than 97% accuracy. The technique offered great insights into the mating dynamics of the area. Most interesting to me was that while colonies from the apiary closest to the inferred DSA provided most of the in-air drones, 79%, actual matings were tilted toward an apiary nearly 2 miles away. The authors guessed there was another DCA further away and that queens were doing extra effort to preferentially mate there. This study, coupled with a queen watch at the doors of the mating boxes, would perhaps confirm that queens searching for distant mates spent longer on the wing. On a practical side, colonies in which the scientists had added drone comb indeed seemed to be more heavily represented as sources of successful dads. Thomas Spranger and colleagues in Austria used a classic trick of bee pigmentation to determine the integrity of a potential island mating system in a recent paper. This was titled, Investigating Mating Reliability and Drone Congregation Areas on an Island in Lake Neusiedl, Austria, for the potential establishment of a mating station for honeybee breeding. And it's in a journal called Archives of Animal Breeding from 2025. It's also available online to anyone. They truly had an island at their disposal, the striking Morbischer Island in Lake Neusiedl, Austria. When not used by scientists to track bee sex, this island hosts a large concert venue and an open-air opera house. Really beautiful spot. It is connected to the mainland by a 1.2-mile causeway, but is thought to be resistant to outside and resident drones. Unlike queens and workers, drones are extremely hesitant to fly over open water. After painstakingly establishing pure cordovan, or leather-colored, virgin queens in mating boxes, and an array of 11 drone-producing colonies also headed by pure cordovan queens, all the researchers had to do was wait and check the color of the worker offspring. Using balloons and quadricopter drones, see the image, they found no males flying before drone producers were introduced to the island, and healthy DCAs after those colonies were present. All good for an isolated mating yard. Nevertheless, worker progeny from 10 mated queens indicated a significant number of outside males had crashed the mating party. These events could reflect adventurous males from the mainland, but the authors feel it was far more likely that virgin queens had decided to fly some miles to meet up with these off-island males. Only one of the successful queens had mated exclusively with Cordovan Island males. 8 queens mated with some local males, while also having at least one mainland fling. And the 10th queen spent all of her time with the mainland males. Sadly, despite adequate local males, the temptations on this island were not sufficient to keep mating local. For mating yards on the mainland, these two studies suggest that while flooding an area with desired drones can help, queens will readily explore DCAs miles away from home. And there is reasonable speculation that this tendency for long, risky flights to find DCAs is a hedge against inbreeding. Choosing diverse dads for their thousands of unborn children is a key decision point for queens and arguably worth some extra flight miles. Thank you for listening, and good luck with your bees as you head into winter.